From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Help in Trouble, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, A Heavenly Escort. The text is found in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Do we need journeying mercies? Here are choice ones, God's presence and preservation. In all places we need both of these. And in all places we shall have them if we go at the call of duty, and not merely according to our own fancy. Why should we look upon removal to another country as a sorrowful necessity, when it is laid upon us by the divine will? In all lands the believer is equally a pilgrim and a stranger, and yet in every region the Lord is his dwelling place, even as he has been to his saints in all generations. We may miss the protection of an earthly monarch, but when God says, I will keep thee, we are in no real danger. This is a blessed passport for a traveler and a heavenly escort for an emigrant. Jacob had never left his father's room before. He had been a mother's boy and not an adventurer like his brother. Yet he went abroad, and God went with him. He had little luggage and no attendants. Yet no prince ever journeyed with a nobler bodyguard. Even while he slept in the open field, angels watched over him, and the Lord God spoke to him. If the Lord bids us go, let us say with our Lord Jesus, Arise, let us go hence.
Before ransom sinner die.
Seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, we read of Adoni-Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, who had gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to his disciples that the world would hate them just as it had hated him. As the pagan Canaanites sought to dispossess Joshua of his conquests, so the world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly trying to rob Christians of spiritual victory. Yet this passage also shows that the resources available were sufficient to protect Gibeon, even as Christ's resources are more than adequate to guarantee victory for his people. As the Gibeonites cried to Joshua to come and help them, so believers must cry to the Lord with the same urgency and fervency as they face their enemies. Now to continue this message, Help in Trouble, here is Dr. Cairns.
Man's foes will often be those of his own household. Sometimes the enemy uses our own flesh. James reminds us that every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. The devil uses our flesh. Now in all this, he has very, very particular but very extensive aims. I haven't time to pursue them, but I want you to understand what this is all about. The rage of the world and the flesh and the devil is to dispossess the Savior of his conquest. Joshua had laid hold, even though it was through peace, he had laid hold of Gibeon. Gibeon was now among the Israelites. Gibeon belonged to the kingdom. And the enemy sought to dispossess Joshua of his conquests. Sought to dissuade others from submitting to him. And sought to derail the progress of the people of God. And those are the extensive aims that the enemy has in mind as the world and the flesh and the devil would amalgamate against those who are reconciled to God. To turn us away from the Savior, to break the rule of grace in our lives, to turn others away from the Savior. You stop to think of it, you know. And you're a Christian. Humanly speaking, there's a lot depending on your going on with God. There's a lot depends on it. It's not just your own spiritual well-being. That's important. But there's the well-being of others. This is something that every preacher has to keep in mind. And I fear that sometimes preachers don't do it. This is one of the reasons you have the calamitous falls. Every man who stands behind this desk is going to be a particular target of the most virulent hatred and attack of hell. Without any trace of personal arrogance, as a preacher I can say, and I have to say and I have to keep in mind, if some attender or some member of this church is found to fall into sin, it would not do good to the cause, but this church can live through it. But if this preacher falls into sin, the devil has in his hand a weapon to wreck many lives. You take the case of a parent. There's a lot involved in you going on with God. For your own spiritual welfare, you ought to live close to Christ. But think also of what is riding on your personal spiritual life. You have little ones. And there's nobody on God's earth who can get through words more easily than children. There's nobody can see through to the real person better than your family. And you just think, father or mother, if you fall, what an impact you make on your children. The whole attempt here is to stop others from submitting to the Savior. The devil has a many-pronged attack against you. He wants to destroy your joy in the Lord, but he wants to make sure that your testimony is of no use in winning your family, or winning your friends, or winning your workmates, or winning anybody else. If he can destroy you, he also turns aside many others, and thereby grinds the whole church's mission to a halt. Oh, the devil has extensive aims in this. Let us learn this then, that the rage of the enemy is soon apparent against all of us reconciled to God. But let us say this, and this is the heart of the chapter, that the resources available to those reconciled to God are sufficient to protect them. Gibeon was, in comparison to those around her, weak, for she was only one against many. Gibeon was exposed. At this moment she seemed to be standing all alone. But Gibeon had powerful resources, in itself no match for the enemy. But the great truth, and this gripped my heart as I was reading this portion, Gibeon did not stand alone. Gibeon stood in covenant with Joshua. And all the might, all the resources of Joshua stood behind that apparently weak and vulnerable city of Gibeon. What a picture of the Christian's resources in Christ. We know that we're no match for the enemy. We must confess with Hezekiah when the enemy came up against him in great numbers. He said, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Have you never been there? Have you not felt, I am no match for the powers of the world and the flesh and the devil. I am no match for temptation. I am no match for the hatred of the forces that are arrayed against the Christian. We are no match for the devil. I get scared when people think that they're big enough and strong enough, they have a good enough character, they have a strong enough will, they are well grounded enough that they don't need to worry. I get scared for people who don't feel their own weakness. We are no match. But thank God we have an almighty Savior. We have a Joshua. And I will point out again, and trust you remember always, Joshua is Jesus. Hebrews 4 gives you the Greek form of the word. Joshua is Hebrew, Jesus is Greek. Same name. This Joshua is a picture of our Jesus, according to Hebrews 4. We have a great Joshua, a great Savior. We stand in covenant with him, and all the resources of our greater Joshua are at our disposal. Isn't this what Paul tells the Ephesians? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Isn't this what Peter says when he promises us that God's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness? Isn't this the message to the Corinthians, that though the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds? It's a great truth. We have wonderful resources. And just as Joshua's army was available to Gibeon as soon as it cried, so the Savior stands ready and willing and eager answer the Christian's cry for help. David penned some beautiful words, and Peter repeated them in 1 Peter 3. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. His ears are open to their cry. Therefore, cry. We can cry with confidence because the text shows that the reliance upon the Savior of those reconciled to God is well founded. Look at verse 6 and 7. The men of Gibeon sent to Joshua, "Slack not thy hand. Come up quickly. Save us and help us." Verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the men of war with him. Gibeon's cry was immediately heard. Time does not permit me to go into it in detail, but can I say that this cry gives us a model prayer in time of trouble? How did they pray? Notice how they prayed with urgency. Now, this is a very simple thing and you can overlook it. But listen, they didn't wait until the battle was half over before they cried. They didn't wait until half their people were corpses before they cried. Soon as they saw the amalgamation of forces, they sent word. There was urgency. One of the great sadnesses in pastoral life when you're dealing with people is that they tend constantly to wait until the battle is half lost before they do anything about it. They prayed with urgency. In other words, our appeal to Christ must be our first response to trouble. Then they prayed with fervency. Read their words again. Slack not, reminds me of Daniel's prayer. Hearken and do and defer not. There's urgency here. There's fervency here. James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The way some Christians pray, they don't really believe they're in trouble. They don't really believe they're in need. I think of the woman who criticized the praying in Dr. Paisley's church many years ago when Dr. Paisley was praying. Now, those of you who hear him now, remember, you're hearing an old man whose voice has been worn out with preaching for 50 years. And not just preaching, you know, once a week or something. Preaching on an average, over those years, I dare say, maybe 10 to 20 times a week. You know, preaching every day. And then speaking in open-air meetings and speaking in political meetings. And so you're hearing an old man, don't tell him I said that, mind you, but it's true, whose voice is somewhat weakened. The Ian Paisley, I remember, had a voice like a peal of thunder. A voice with the bell-like clarity that when he spoke, he was heard. When he spoke in the town of Ballymoney, they heard him 1 mile away. And when he was leading the prayer meeting, he prayed that way. And this very respectable lady, who was not used with ministers, especially as in Britain the ministers wear the clerical collar, the ministers who wear the cloth, not used to hearing them do anything but hold their little finger out as they drink tea ever so nicely and speak ever so kindly and quietly. And she said to him, "I don't think the Lord is deaf." And he said, "And thank God he's not nervous either, so I'll just cry aloud." Cry aloud. Let me tell you, when you're in great danger, you're not so much worried about your grammar and the beauty of your language as you're worried about getting out this urgent, fervent cry for help. That's what these people did. And they prayed with great advocacy. My, we can learn from them. They pleaded their covenant with Joshua. How do you pray? There's a beautiful little statement in Psalm 119, verse 94. I am thine, save me. There's a great logic in prayer there. I am thine. Thine by covenant, thine by blood, thine by divine gift, thine by the cross, thine by the Spirit's regeneration, thine by consecration. I am thine, therefore save me. That's how they prayed, pleaded the covenant with Joshua. They stated their commitment to Joshua. We are thy servants. Listen, God does not hear our prayers simply because we feel we have some need. We feel that we may be better off. Life might be a little easier. Listen, all we say and do is for the glory of God. And we are not on praying ground until we're on the ground of personal commitment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.